on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, police investigating the murder of Lyra McKee say the net is closing in on her killer. They also reveal a gun of the same type used in her murder was also used in other paramilitary attacks in the Creggan area of Derry. Fresh talks will take place in a bid to get Stormont back up and running. The talks will take place after next month's elections. Homes and businesses in Fallcarragh were left without water once again for a time today after a number of businesses were forced to close when pipes burst in the area. A local councillor says there needs to be a public meeting to discuss the options. And later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. Good evening. Police investigating the murder of Lyra McKee say the net is closing in on her killer. Newly released footage of the suspected gunman shows he's short and stocky and was wearing dark clothes on the night the journalist was shot dead. Detective Superintendent Jason Murphy has revealed a gun of the same type used in Lyra's murder was also used in other paramilitary attacks in Derry.
The gun of a similar calibre has been used in previous paramilitary style assaults in the area of the Creggan. I can't go into further details at this stage because, as you'll be aware, we have forensic tests that are ongoing. But I think that is symptomatic of the fact that the weapons of this type are in circulation in the Creggan and other areas of Northern Ireland and continue to bring misery every single day to these communities.
Well, police say people in the Creggan may be frightened to come forward, but they say it is vital to secure justice for Lyra. Detective Superintendent Murphy also made a direct appeal to the gunman.
I want him to come forward and tell us what he did. I want him to provide an explanation for why he fired the shots on that night. I said last week that the gunman and those that surround the gunman have still provided no direct explanation to Lyra McKee's family as to why she died, why she was killed, and why that gun was on the streets.
Fresh talks between the main parties in Northern Ireland will take place in a bid to get Stormont back up and running. In a joint statement, the Taoiseach and British Prime Minister say they've heard the unmistakable message at Lyra McKee's funeral that people want to see a new momentum for political progress. Talks are due to start after the local elections. An intergovernmental conference is also planned with a review at the end of May. A joint statement is to be made this evening by Taoiseach Simon Coveney and Northern Secretary Karen Bradley after they meet in Belfast. Speaking before he left for Belfast, Simon Coveney said they're hoping for progress.
Both governments in particular know that we have a responsibility to work together and to give both leadership and also structure to help the parties to find a way of re-establishing a functioning Stormont and a functioning executive.
Homes and businesses in the Fallcarragh area were left without water for a time again today, with a number of businesses forced to close following the latest in a series of pipe bursts. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, who's demanding an immediate response, described the situation as being beyond belief. Meanwhile, a local election candidate in the area says a request for a 40-foot water tanker to provide an emergency water supply to the area was declined. He quoted a senior Donegal County Council official as saying the decision to deploy a tanker is in the hands of Irish Water. Well, after speaking to Irish Water himself, candidate Michael McLafferty said the protocols for deploying tankers need to be reviewed and revised.
They have informed me then they cannot issue a tanker for a SOS crisis situation unless the water has been off for a complete 24 hours. Only and only then will they issue a tanker. So even at that, you may not get the tanker for maybe 26 hours afterwards because it has come from quite a distance away. It is unacceptable. The argument I've made with Irish Water this morning, the 24-hour rule for a tanker needs to be brought down to at least in and around a possible two-hour period. For example, they know when the bust happens, the engineer or engineers will go out and assess the bust. They will know be looking at it. If they can fix it within a two, three-hour period, if they can't, then it's time to call for the tanker. At that stage, a couple of hours or so still have left, but at least you have a tanker. It may not be sufficient for all the businesses in Fallcarragh or any other town, but it may be able to keep some of them going at least. All the piping in Fallcarragh, first of all, as we know, as other councillors have said all along, and even there, you know, up until today, we are all aware the pipes are bad. So just going forward, I'm going to call a public meeting in Fallcarragh through the week. The date has to be arranged for it, but I'm going to call a public meeting for the people of Fallcarragh, Godahork, local area that's been affected all the time by this water, business and so on, and see what can we come up with to basically put a strong case going forward to Irish Water.
And that was Michael McLafferty, a Fine Gael candidate in the local elections. Staying with Irish Water, and road closures are scheduled for Marble Hill next month as part of a programme of works being carried out by the utility in partnership with Donegal County Council. 370 metres of ageing water mains and connections are to be replaced in the area between Farr Heights and Marble Hill Court. Irish Water say the works will lead to a safer and more secure supply of water for the community there. However, in the short term, while the works are ongoing, there will be some disruption. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The works are due to commence on May the 7th and are expected to be complete by the end of May. Areas of works will be limited to short sections to minimise impact on customers. To ensure the safety of the workers and the local community, a road closure will be required on the Marble Hill Road for the duration of the works. This road will be reopened every weekend from 6pm Friday to 8am Monday during the course of the works. An alternative route will be available along the Rock Hill Road, which will be clearly signposted. Local and emergency traffic will be maintained at all times. Some short-term water shut-offs may also be necessary, and the project team will ensure that customers are given a minimum of 48 hours notice prior to any planned shut-offs.
The government is expected to approve the National Broadband Plan within weeks, but it could be years before it's fully implemented. The Taoiseach previously said the plan could cost €3 billion, five times the original estimate. The rollout of high-speed broadband to rural homes looks set to be carried out by a group led by businessman David McCourt, the last remaining bidder. Tech editor with the Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, is warning that the plan's realisation is still some way off.
So the rollout is likely to be about 2 to 3 years for the bulk of it, for the 80% of the 540,000 households, is about 1 million people, and then probably another 2 to 3 years for the most remote, far-flung residents. I was on an island off Donegal last week. Places like that, it will take another couple of years.
Donegal County Council has welcomed a deal with Aer Lingus, which offers discounts to people flying into Donegal Airport during the Donegal Connect initiative in the autumn. Customers flying from the US and concluding their journey at Donegal Airport can avail of special offers using a special promo code Donegal19. Special packages are also on offer at a number of Donegal hotels for the 10-day event. The Council's Finance Director, Gary Martin, says this is the latest in a series of events to connect with the Donegal diaspora.
The 10-day event has taken place between the 27th of September and the 6th of October this year throughout Donegal and across a whole range of subject areas, including music, food, sport, genealogy, employment opportunities, and all the good things that make Donegal what it actually is. And it builds, Donal, on the ongoing work that the council and their partners have been involved in over the past number of years and continuing to reach out to all of our immigrants and to all of our diaspora across the world, ranging through to this particular homecoming event, which I suppose aims to have a dual effect. One, giving people an opportunity to come back to Donegal to experience all of the good things that I've referenced, and also to do so against the background of a range of incentives that we've managed to negotiate with the likes of Aer Lingus and our local hospitality sector.
And when you have people like Aer Lingus on board, when you can secure that level of offer whereby people can avail of special deals, and presumably there'll also be promotion by Aer Lingus as well, and that's maybe at times the sort of promotion you can't really buy.
Absolutely, and I suppose, look, there's always a nice little quirk as well. And I'm not sure if people actually are aware of it. You know, you can actually step on an Aer Lingus plane in North America and at any of their hubs, and you don't have to pick up your bag until you get off the plane at Carrickfinn, our own international airport. You can actually check your way right through. And given that it's been voted the most scenic airport in the world for the second year running, there's a nice symbolism of coming back for a homecoming event back to your home airport in your own, in your home county at such a beautiful and scenic location, and saving some dollars while you're doing that.
And that was Gary Martin, Donegal County Council's Director of Service in Finance. A special workshop is to be held with elected representatives and housing and planning officials over what have been described as numerous issues arising with housing stock in the Letterkenny Municipal District. It's expected the council will use the workshop to provide more clarity as to what position it's in to address housing affected by MICA. There's also concern surrounding maintenance, with hopes that more funding can be achieved to provide refurbishment works on some of the stock. Meanwhile, it's anticipated that the council will provide details of progress on the takeover process at a number of estates in the area. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says at this point the council should be providing a definite agenda and timetable for these to be secured.
What position are we in now to help and assist those people who have makeup problems? I'm also looking to see if we can get more money into maintenance of houses, because a lot of complaints from householders is that maintenance is not done often enough. There is a large number of houses now in Letterkenny which are of the 12, 15, 18 year old, and a lot of them houses would maybe need refurbs done, like windows and doors. I just want to be asking the questions where we are in that respect. And then the big bone of contention still within Letterkenny Municipal District is a takeover of estates and the council taking in charge. So that's why I want the planning officials there, so they can give us an update on that, tell us the work that they've done to date. More prominently is they gave us dates for when the next tranche of estates will be taken in charge by the council.
Because more often than enough, you or other councillors put in motions, the response is generally progress is being made, but no definite time frame, no definite agenda. That's really what you're looking for here, an agenda and a timeline of all the different initiatives, when they're going to be done and how long it's going to take.
Yeah, and whilst I accept that there's a legal process they go through and that those contractors should not get away scot-free, we are now 11 years since the crash, since most of these estates were abandoned or are only partially built. And I think, to be honest, that's long enough where we should be in a position now to be taking in charge of all estates and have all our affairs in order.
And that was Councillor Jerry McMonagall there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. The Irish Council Against Bloodsports has expressed anger and disgust over revelations that two fur farms in Donegal have received over €200,000 in state funding. It's understood the Tazettafoot fur farm near Glenties has received at least six annual grants over the past decade from the state body Uthras na Gaeltachta. The grants were provided under employment and capital grant schemes. With more, here's Stephen Murphy.
The funding began in 2009 when the company received a €10,400 grant. The following year, Uthras na Gaeltachta handed over €26,000 to the fur farm. This was followed by €28,261 in 2014, €58,149 in 2015, €7,090 in 2016, and €3,560 in 2017. Figures for 2018 are not available. Meanwhile, another fur farm, Roxy Limited in Killybegs, which is now closed down, received €82,123 over the last two decades from Uthras. In a statement, ICABS called for an end to these grants and have renewed their appeal to the government to ban fur farming entirely.
Highland Radio Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout Letterkenny, with one of the biggest collections of sports footwear in the Northwest, from top labels like Skechers, Nike and Adidas.
14 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. It's going to be another busy night in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. Harps are on the road to Sligo for a derby. Derry host Cork. And there's another big game as well. With the details, here's PJ Lynch.
Dundalk are 7 points behind Shamrock Rovers entering tonight's League of Ireland Premier Division showdown between the champions and leaders at Oriel Park. 8 p.m. is the kick-off time to the big game of the night. The other matches begin at 8:15. Finn Harps are on the road to Sligo Rovers for the Northwest Derby at the Showgrounds, and that will be live here on Highland Radio this evening, with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle providing full match commentary in association with BNS Credit Union. For Harps, Harry Ascroft, Mark Timlin, Gareth Hark and Kieran Gallagher remain injured, while Colm Deasy is suspended. Ramilton's Kyle Callan McFadden has a hand injury and is doubtful for Sligo. Harps are at bottom and still without a win. Former Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman feels set plays are crucial to trying to score goals and get that victory.
With the players that they have, I think set plays are really vital to Finn Harps. They don't have that out-and-out creative midfield player, and as well as that, they don't have a striker of the likes of, you know, the ilk they had when Kevin McHugh was at his prime. They've got good deliveries, I suppose. Like, they're missing Gareth Harkin at the minute, obviously, but Crotaro's got a good delivery. Tony McNamee's got an excellent delivery. And Tony McNamee's also got the added weapon of a super long throw as well that they could really use to their advantage. You know, we pointed out that they've only lost by one goal in six of the games that they've lost. You know, and if they can stay in games, you know, and play for set plays, you know, it gives them a good opportunity.
Cork City make the trip to the Ryan McBride Brandywell to face Derry City. Martin Holmes will have a live updates tonight on Highland during the Sligo Harps game. Derry trio Ali Gilchrist, Kieran Harkin and Adrian Delap will be given late fitness tests ahead of the game. Here's Derry boss Declan Devine.
They've good players in all their positions. It'll be difficult to play against and they'll cause us problems, but we've got to look after ourselves. We're playing very well at the moment. We're very good with the ball. We have a lot of energy without the ball. We're creating chances. We're scoring goals. Now we have to make sure that we can stop conceding unnecessary opportunities, and if we can do that, we'll be in a good place. But, you know, we're confident. We're positive, but we also understand that this is a tough game.
Elsewhere, Bohemians will look to hold on to second place as they welcome Waterford to Derrymount Park, while St Patrick's Athletic host UCD at Richmond Park.
Many thanks to PJ Lynch for that report. Now on to the Irish League Premiership. It's the final series of games tomorrow. The champions are Linfield. They're on the road to Coleraine, while the other northwest side is Institute away to Glentoran in Belfast. Institute, of course, safe in the top flight for another campaign as the curtain comes down on the league tomorrow. Let's go cross channel. There are three Premier League games to go, and Liverpool can regain the lead in the title race by beating bottom club Huddersfield Town tonight. A victory will take the Reds to 91 points. And no club has ever lost the title after reaching that mark. Kickoff on Merseyside is at 8 o'clock. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says winning or losing the league is not a make or break situation for these players.
If you win the league, it's only the first step. If you don't win the league, it's only the first step. That's how it is. We start now, and we started this year with that team, and that's good. And now let's carry on.
Junior soccer in the Northwest starts tonight. There's a Premier Division clash here in Donegal. Kildrum Tigers taking on Milford United. Kicks off at 7:15. Among the highlights over the course of the rest of the weekend, Ulster Junior Shield finals on at Ballyar tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It sees Armagh United taking on Coghill Celtic Youths. The Ulster Junior Cup finals at McGinn Park on Sunday, with Glengadge United taking on Greencastle. The two powerhouses of Inishowen football this season, meeting in the Cup decider, starts at 5. And the Donegal News League Cup final is also on this weekend. Finn Park is the venue on Sunday afternoon for Letterkenny Rovers against Coghill Celtic. Coghill, of course, going for a league and cup double for a 7th year in a row. And we'll have action from that game on Sunday. It will be our feature game. Dermot Doherty and Bunnagee United manager Jason Gibson will be watching that game on Sunday. Now in boxing, Derry middleweight Conor Coyle was victorious on his Las Vegas debut on Thursday night, beating Robert Brewell on a unanimous decision. It was an important night for Coyle, who also made his debut under the Roy Jones Jr. promotion banner at the Sam's Hotel and Casino in Sin City, while the fight was also broadcast on UFC Fight Pass. It was a clear 77-74 winner on all three judges' cards, and now sits 10-0 in the pro ranks. Connor's next fight in America, which looks set to be a 10-rounder, is due in the early summer. On to motorsport, it's been a good day so far in Argentina for County Tyrone's Chris Meek. He leads the overall standings on the WRC event for this weekend after five stages by 5.4 seconds, excuse me, from Thierry Neuville. So it's Toyota at one with Meek in the lead. Then we've got the Hyundai of Neuville, followed by the Toyota of Tanak in third. And defending drivers champion Sebastian Ogier is fourth after five stages, 6.6 seconds adrift off Meek. The Mullan Stages Rally takes place this weekend. It's the third round of the National Rally Championship, and there's a host of Donegal crews heading that direction for competitive action over nine stages on Sunday. Donna Kelly and Conor Foley in the Ford Focus are their top seeds. Likes of Declan Boyle and Joseph McGonigal are included in the top 10 seeds. Outside of that, in the top 30, PJ McDermott, Kevin Eve, Stuart Darcy, John Boner, the returning Damien Gallagher, Michael Boyle and Johnny Jordan are also looking for a good result. Josh Moffat, of course, is the championship leader after two rounds. The new Northwest cricket campaign starts tomorrow Saturday, weather permitting, of course, with three Premier League games down for decision. The match of the day is at Beech Grove, where the Senior Cup winners Brigade play the defending league champions Brady. Highlands cricket correspondent Eamon McLaughlin has a preview.
Brigade have strengthened this year with the signing of Ross Allen from Eglinton and Ratchet Gar from Strabane. Brady have lost Craig Young and Ryan Barr, so they're under strength a little bit this season, but they'll still be a good enough side to be up there challenging. Of the other games tomorrow, Coleraine not as strong this year by the sounds of things as they were in previous years. They entertain newly promoted Ballyspellin, where the other newly promoted side, Glendermot, face a difficult away opening day at Dunamana. The game between Strabane and Eglinton is off due to a bereavement in the Strabane club. And in the Championship tomorrow, St Johnson opened their season with a tough away game at one of the promotion favourites, Ardenmore. So looking forward to a good start to the season tomorrow. Hopefully Storm Hannah will have passed by the time we get round to start all games tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock.
Eamon McLaughlin all set for a new cricket season. In rugby, Ulster and Leinster have both named entirely changed starting teams for tomorrow's Pro 14 tie. Wing David Busby will make his first Ulster appearance in nearly a year as Darren Cave captains the side for what could be his final game for the Northern Province. Johnny McPhillips and Dave Shanahan are named in the halfback roles, and Ulster-bound Jack McGrath selected in the Ulster front row as fly half Ross Byrne captains Leo Cullen's side for the first time. In snooker, defending champion Mark Williams is tied at 3 frames apiece with David Gilbert in the second round match at the World Championships, while on the other table, world number 2 Mark Selby is tied at 7 frames each with Gary Wilson. There is of course live action tonight here in Highland with Sligo Rovers against Finn Harps from the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. Jim Doherty and Declan Boyle will have full match commentary as from 7:40. And then there's another big game that we'll be covering this weekend on the Gaelic Games front, which is the Ulster Minor Football Championship quarter-final tomorrow evening. It sees Donegal against Tyrone in Ballybuffet. That game is due to throw in at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, and there'll be full live match commentary from that one available on our website. That's highlandradio.com as from 10 to 6 tomorrow evening. Derry also play tomorrow in the Minor Championship there on the road as they go to the Athletic Grounds to play Armagh. It's going to be another busy weekend, Donald. You can, of course, follow all the sporting action right here on Highland over the course of the next few days.
Thank you, Washing. Agus an ish an nocht a leibh ag Colm Ferriter.
Seomra maith sa Colm Ferriter an seán an príomhscéalta ar Highland Radio. Corran Conrú na Gaeilge Fáilte roimh fógra an ara a dheis agus scileanna Joe McHugh ar maidin go cuirtear tús le clár fólama cóthaithe ábhairt agus teangathe an gheá scoil agus fí agus anad lua a dheis a mí mhean an óthairt. Cillian cuir i bhaim an chlár páirt tuma dheis seo go mbeidh corpa dheis agus ábhair eile a teagas fríd Gaeilge sa scoileanna a bheith páirteach sa scéim. Máil a Conrú na Gaeilge an páirt tuma seo in 2008 a bheith mar chuid den stratis fiche bhliain don Gaeilge tá brú leanúnach curtha ag an agriat ar an runna dheis agus scoileanna agus ar runna gaeltachta le breis is dé mlianna an nuas leis an cion scríbe seo a bhaint se maith. Tá sé fógraithe ag Forrest na Gaeilge gur arc breis is 2 billion úsáideoirt ar thiamh na an ochlóra nua barla Gaeilge folclór boncaí í sa tréimh se bliana suas go dí dearan na mísa Márta 2019. Is é seo an céad uair ó seolú an siamh a mí anart 2013 a sáriú líon 2 billion úsáideoirt ar an siamh in éon tréimh se bliana. Sa tréimh se bliana seo bratnaithe ar níos mó na 5 billion agus fí lahana. Tá prósis plána le teanga dúnanáil háas cadaithe ag an arastad Sean Cain. Bé alantus blianta suas le 100 míle euro a chur ar fáil faoin prósis chun taciart a thuirt le curí bhaim an phláin agus chun lár chóirle faraiste Glenn Colm Kille an phláin a tharraingte níos. Bé sé ar a gomas acu áfaige plána le teanga a astú chomh maith. Dúirt an tarastad go mbeidh deis ag muintir a cheantar tionnachar níos mó na riamh a imirt de réir staid ratha na Gaeilge sa Limister. Agus bhí an bua ag aran an éirin don tríú bliain in é chéile a réir ag an comórtas idir náisiúnta pan ceilte an leitir cenan. Thuaí á rannaí daríanna ní ghanachú go mórí bhaim ar bháiltarí le léirú den áran ní hegamsa scrífa ag aine ní gharchan ag árchan an gríanan. Tionlalíon wantars ó na tíortha cealtithe an Alban an bhratan bhag, Alan na Manan, an bhratan agus corn na bhratanne ag an ócáid cultúrtha an éile fan cealtithe gaf blian agus is í leitir cenan bala ásta na féile i mlíana. Is í lána gomórtas buach fontsin na féile nuair a chuirtar Chóirithe agus ceoltarí é ar a chéalas na comórtais idir ceiltethe. Táthar ag súil go méid os cionn na 300 ranfhairtithe I láthair imlíana. Is chuirthe thús leis na comórtais leis na comórtais ag a leathanéide I gálaiste aillí leite cheannan ar maidí na mara agus tuilleú eolais ar na himeachtaí go léir ag an suíomh panceiltethe.ie. Sin mo chuid sé eile go léir slán agus bannacht.
Gurimithe agus Colm. Agusanish on Imshire. Mostly cloudy for the rest of this evening with outbreaks of rain, moderate or fresh west to southwesterly winds backing southerly as the evening goes on. Winds will veer northwesterly into tonight and it'll become very windy with gales possible in western coastal areas. Wet with outbreaks of rain continuing through until dawn. Don't forget there is a yellow wind warning in place for Donegal this evening from 11 o'clock as a result of Storm Hannah. Now the worst of that storm will hit Munster and specifically the southwest and midwest, but a yellow warning still in place here in Donegal and the northwest, so please be aware of that. Wet and windy start again tomorrow morning with fresh to strong and gusty northwesterly winds. The rain gradually clearing during the morning and early afternoon. Sunny spells and isolated showers will follow. Northwest winds gradually moderating toward tomorrow evening. Staying rather cool tomorrow though. Highs 8 to 11 degrees Celsius. And the main stories in brief on this Friday evening. Police investigating the murder of Lyra McKee say the net is closing in on her killer. New released footage of the suspected gunman shows he's short, stocky and was wearing dark clothes on the night the journalist was shot dead. Detective Superintendent Jason Murphy has also revealed a gun of the same type used in Lyra's killing was also used in other paramilitary attacks in Derry recently. Fresh talks between the main parties in the north will take place after May's elections in a bid to get Stormont back on track. A joint statement was issued this afternoon by the Taoiseach and British Prime Minister. The Taoiseach and the Northern Secretary are meeting this evening in Belfast. And homes and businesses in the Falkara area were left without water for a time again today. A number of businesses were forced to close following the latest in a series of pipe bursts. A local election candidate says he'll be arranging a meeting next week. He wants tanker protocols to be changed. We're back with news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 26th of April. The death has occurred of Ted Flanagan, Ballywhoriski, Fanad. A celebration of Ted's life will be held at his home on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Everyone welcome. A private cremation will take place. Inquiries to McAteer Funeral Directors, Fanad. The death has occurred of Kay Gallagher, Shanna, Lahey, County Donegal. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday for 11 o'clock Mass in St. Bridget's Church, Ballintra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place in Swansea, Wales, of James Monagle, formerly of Brookfield Terrace, Mallon. His remains are reposing at his sister Teresa Wood's residence at Tully, Mallon Head. Funeral from there on Sunday morning for 9 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church, Lag Mallon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Noel Crawford, née Bell, Goland Ballybuffet. Noel's remains will repose at the family home until removal on Sunday at 10 o'clock for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with burial afterwards in Kiltivogue Cemetery, Glenfinn. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Agnes Quinn, née McLaughlin, Dunbury Hill, Bridge End, Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 12:45 for Requiem Mass at 1:30 in St Mary's Church, Fawn. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Buncrana Community Hospital, care of any family member, or McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. And the death has taken place of Matthew Key, Alta Paste, Clohan. His remains are reposing at his son William and Jeanette's home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:15 for service at 2:30 in St John's Parish Church, Kiltivogue, followed by burial in the family plot at the Church of Ireland Graveyard, Stranorler. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Laura Lynn Children's Hospice, care of Terence McLintock, Funeral Director.